Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We'll be a part of the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament Wednesday at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Afternoon flight sold out. A couple spots still left in the morning flight. But many more foursomes this year than last year. Great news for the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Drew Kelly, whom I felt played very well the first time. Mark Mahoney, who always plays well. And yes, the drive-by assassin, Kevin Herr, will be joining me in our foursome.
I didn't hear the part where you said plays well. All right, just plays then. How's that?
Well, it keeps the three of us from having to hit an extra shot, so sure. But, again, this will be on Wednesday. Now, what time do we get going Wednesday? 7:30? 8 o'clock?
7:30 runs in my head.
Good. I'll try and get there. Try and get there around 6:45 or so. Go out, hit a bucket of balls. Buy some mulligans. Go from there. And the reason you buy the mulligans is not because, oh, yeah, I want to buy a lot so I can use them on the course. It's to support the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. That's why you buy the mulligans. Okay? Simple as that. It's always interesting to see how Kevin uses them.
I get them for both reasons, though.
I didn't like my drive. Well, you're not going to like the second one either, so don't bother. We have three other balls out there. The only teammate I've ever been with that jumps up and down when you don't hit a really good shot and he hits a good one. I've never seen anything like that. Take the group I played golf with on Friday from First National Bank.
Oh, boy.
What? We shot a respectable 11 under par. And everybody that hit a good shot, everybody was like, hey, way to go. Great job. There you go. Or if we all fouled up, you know, and the last player's up, come on, bail us out, dude. You know, do something, help us here. You know? It's the way it was. Now, with Kelly and Mahone, I get that all the time. Pretty much fit the mold of the perfect scramble golfers, you know, teamwork, camaraderie. And then we have the rogue shark.
I'm just there to make the putts.
Who, if he's not getting his shot, it just drags the rest of the team down. Then tells me he's in a zone and plops one into the river.
Did not. I forget it. Just forget it.
Where do you think it went?
It went into a pond.
Where do you think it did not go into the pond? The pond was in back of the green.
Pond, not the river.
Okay, the pond is in back of the green. The creek runs along the side of the fairway. You went straight in. I know. I saw it go by my ear. And then you're telling me it was bending back. Toward what? You lost it completely. You didn't even see me there. How'd you know where the ball was?
I was focused on the ball.
Oh, sure you were. I got snorkeling equipment out to go get it. Because I know how valuable that is. I try to tell you, how many times have I told you? They're like Lay's potato chips. They make more. Golf balls are like chips. They make more. You act like it's gold. I have to find this ball. It's in the creek. Who cares? Take another one out. We're on the green. Let's putt. You know me. I don't like to waste time.
Hey, you know, Steve, I wonder what this means. The incoming athletic director, Julie Herman, is set to visit Rutgers this week. Postponed some meetings that were scheduled this week.
I'd like to see her come over to the Susquehanna Valley Country Club and play golf on Friday, and then we'll find out whether those players down in Tennessee were right about her. Look, I want people to come out for the tournament. We're doing the show live out there, 3 to 5 on Wednesday. Come on out and join us.
Well, you make it sound like it's not going to be safe.
You'll be off the course at that point.
Oh, okay.
I mean, at that stage, at 3 o'clock, we're done by like 2.5, 3 hours. At that point, safety returns, woodland animals come back out, the sun is shining. Me, I'm more relaxed. My blood pressure's back down where it should be. You know, Drew Kelly and Mark Mahone are out of intensive care. We should be good. So we're going to do the show 3 to 5, all right? Enjoy it. Come on out. Enjoy a refreshing beverage. We'll have some chairs set up. We'll, if you have any questions, we'll take them. If you just want to enjoy the show, just do that. We'll talk to you a lot during the breaks. It'll be a lot of fun. And also, I'll be doing the show from Medlar Field, Lebronto Park on Friday, looking at the MLB draft. Phillies picks, Cardinals picks, Pirates picks in particular. Yankees picks, Mets picks, Orioles picks. You know, we'll be concentrating on that. But we got two Washington National fans here. Sure, we'll mention that too if you want. I'm sure they'll both be excited by that. So,
which do you think is? Oh, go ahead, finish that thought out.
What do I think is what?
No, I was just going to ask you, which do you think is going to be more interesting, the Heat Pacers Game 7, or whoever makes it to face the Spurs in the finals? Which is going to be more interesting?
Tonight, Game 7. Game 7 will be more interesting. I mean, the Spurs haven't played in so long. I mean, it's when's the last time they played? September? What's interesting is to watch LeBron. LeBron has had a great series. That little stunt he pulled, though, the other night where Hibbert went up and got in his grill, and then LeBron went running down the court and he got a technical foul. It's like, you know, LeBron. Okay. You ever see Larry Bird do that? Magic? Russell? No. But there's a lot riding on tonight's game. And the headline tomorrow is going to be one of two things. It's either going to be the great LeBron carries Heat to NBA Finals, or is it time to break up the big three?
Yeah, it's not going to be the Pacers win, even if the Pacers do win Game 7.
Right. The Pacers are bit players in all this, yet if they win, we'll have our first all-ABA final ever. Never have two former ABA teams met in a final. So we'll see. But the focus is completely on Miami win or lose tonight.
I thought the interesting stat was that LeBron has scored 171 in this series, and Bosch and Wade together at 155.
Well, as I pointed out, though, Bosch is shooting 24% from the field the last three games, in which the Pacers have won two of the last three. Wade is shooting 32% in the last three games, in which the Pacers have won two of the three. Wade is fighting through a knee injury. Bosch is fighting through an ankle injury. Neither one has been a lot of help for LeBron James.
I mean, when you put Bosch and Wade together, They've only taken about 7 more shots than LeBron has. Combined, they've only taken 7 more shots.
But here's the other part, though, and I've said this for years and years. It hasn't come up that much on this show. I said, but if you want to know how much the NBA has grown or not grown in national perception, I will never know that answer until I see Utah play Atlanta in the finals. Well, we may have that answer now. If San Antonio plays Indiana in the finals, what will the ratings look like? I mean, we know that Tim Duncan's a star, Ginobili, Parker, they're stars, Paul George is a star, but they're stars within the realm of the NBA. LeBron crosses over every spectrum, just like Jordan did, just like Bird did, just like Magic did, just like Kareem did. You know, they cross over the spectrum. They're bigger than the game itself. Tiger Woods is coming off a horrible performance at the Memorial. He's still the story next week at Marion. Win, lose, or draw, he'll be the story at Marion. So that's what we wait to see. So, yeah, I think the game 7 tonight, because I believe LeBron's contract is up after next season in Miami. There is a lot of talk now that when next season's up, and it's a lot of talk. A lot of people have been talking about the Lakers. People are now saying Cleveland is absolutely back in the picture for LeBron James in 2014.
After all the jokes after he left.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're Cleveland, you take them back in a heartbeat.
I mean, when a TV Land sitcom, actually Hot in Cleveland, makes a LeBron joke in their show, that's then you know you've made it.
Well, I mean, that's the crossover part of it. I mean, that's the crossover part. That's when you're bigger than the game itself. Certain athletes can do that. Tiger Woods is bigger than his sport. LeBron James is bigger than his sport. Sidney Crosby is the brightest light in the NHL, but he's not bigger than his sport. Gretzky was. Lemieux to a point, Orr was.
Now my question is, who gets the bigger ratings tonight, Game 7 or the NHL Game 2 between the Penguins
Game 7 easily gets the bigger rating. It's not even close tonight. Tonight's Game 7 rating, James playing for the Heat, Indiana, I'll bet it's a 15. A little bit higher than that 0.8 you got yesterday for your Detroit race. So, but that's what it comes down to. It's also a day where Jason Kidd retired, Grant Hill retired over the weekend. It's part of the old guard changing over. I mean, the NBA, I mean, you don't think the NBA front office and so they're, I mean, no offense to Indiana, but you know, they really don't want Indiana to win. Indiana San Antonio final, I'm telling you. That's why, see, this is where the NFL has it over everybody. It doesn't matter who you plug into the Super Bowl. Okay? It doesn't have to be the New York Giants. I mean, the Super Bowl got huge ratings when the Arizona Cardinals were in against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Stanley Cup playoff game, I'm sorry, I wanted to throw this out real quick, between Boston and Pittsburgh game one on the network NBC, got a 2.5, and Miami-Indiana game six on TNT got a 6.2.
Uh, I don't know if those are different kinds of numbers. I don't know if it's a cable number versus a network number.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily
say maybe specifically. Right. Yeah, it may be a cable number versus a network number. That's still for the 6.7. That's a great cable number, by the way.
Yeah.
Huge cable number. But again, tonight, I think they're on the network tonight. They're on ABC tonight, right? Or no? No, I guess they're on TNT tonight. They have to be on TNT.
I think it's TNT. I think the finals are on ABC.
It has to be on TNT tonight. They have the Eastern Conference final. So expect their cable rating tonight. If that got a 6.7, my guess is they might get an 8 tonight. They get an 8. Stanley, I think the Stanley Cup, though, is on NBC Sportsnet tonight, right?
Yes, that's on NBC Sports.
That'll be a more accurate reading between the two because they'll both be on cable. Your race in Detroit yesterday was actually on the net, 0.8.
Yes.
Right. That means you and 18 other people. All right, we'll come back with more. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. Like a 2008 Honda Fit HB Mansport. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. 2010 Chevy Equinox four-wheel drive LT 13985. 2010 Ford Focus, reliable and affordable, just $13,997. 2011 Ford Escape, four-wheel drive, XLT, just $18,877. 2010 Ford Roush Mustang, 427R, a must-see, $33,995. And a 2009 GMC Canyon Crew Cab, call for a price, 888-536-8017. These deals won't last, so hurry in. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout, 24/7 at sunburymotors.com at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this beautiful Monday, which will dovetail into a great Wednesday for the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We'll be out there. Kevin, myself, Mark Mahoney, Drew Kelly, representing the broadcast facility of champions, as we go out there with the idea of getting to double digits under par and making the field quake. Kelly hit the ball, I thought, very well. Mahoney's a big-time player. And Kevin is our difference maker. The fewer of his shots he uses, the better we feel.
The more difference it makes. Hey, has there been any word about the Pinstripe Bowl? Was it Big Ten ACC?
They're talking about an eight-year deal between them. As far as I know, it is not an official deal yet. But the Big Ten is looking at an eight-year deal that would include signage in Yankee Stadium.
One of the rumors I heard was today was going to be the day they'd announce it.
Well, I'm just telling you, it's going to be 8 years, and part of the deal is signage every game in Yankee Stadium for the Big Ten. Now, they did announce the 15 schedule today. I had somebody come up to me today and says, I mean, they got Northwestern and Illinois on there again. I looked at them, I said, hey, it's the same schedule as 14. They do these in two-year increments. Oh, like, honestly, they've done this in two-year increments forever. Now, what's bothersome about the Big Ten in terms of scheduling is that the model over time is always supposed to work out, okay? The problem is that you're now in your third model in 6 years. Do you realize that? It's all supposed to work out in a 10-year span as to how it plays out. Remember how Penn State played back-to-back road games at Ohio State, and Illinois had to play back-to-back games at Beaver Stadium? And Penn State had to play back-to-back games at Indiana, but one of them was at FedEx Field, it turned out. Okay, that's because the new scheduling model came into place. Well, over a period of time, it's all supposed to even out. Okay? Well, it never gets a chance to even out because they keep changing the model. When Rutgers and Maryland came in, they had to put together brand new 8-game models that also had Rutgers and Maryland in there. So that's how you get the 14 and 15 schedules. Then the new model comes out again in 16. Because you have 9-game schedules. So this will be the third scheduling model to come out in 6 years. So it never gets a chance to even out and play out the way they claim it's supposed to in the meetings. But, you know, that's why I laughed about the 15 schedules out. Oh, man, there's no Nebraska, no Wisconsin. I looked at the guy. There's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be Northwestern and Illinois. He says, why? Is it because the 14th schedule, that's what you have? I said, all he did was just change the dates. Took Michigan, kicked them a little bit later in 15 to the next to last weekend, kind of bumped up Ohio State a little bit. Everybody else is really in the same weekend slot as they were before. I know we talk about this stuff all the time, but I just, you wonder sometimes, oh yeah, you did say that. Then at 16 is the new model. And when you get to 16, your three crossover games will come from the pool of Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and let's see. Iowa, Nebraska, Wisconsin, yeah, Minnesota. That's where the pool will come from. It'll be three of those five schools. All right? You're saying, well, how do you know it's three of the five? Because it can't be Illinois and Northwestern. They're on the 14 and 15 schedules. So it's got to be three of the other five schools. And two of them are going to be in Beaver Stadium in 2016. I mean, if you follow logic, it'll take you to the answers.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament Wednesday, Susquehanna Valley Country Club. We'll be there for the morning round. We'll be teeing off at 7:30. A message from this station and the SPCA.
The who?
A little bit. The SPCA. They protect animals, wildlife.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, now yeah. I got it.
Some shows you don't have to explain the jokes. All right, well, the Big Ten Pinstripe Bowl is going to be an 8-year deal, 2014 through 21. It'll start next year, 2014. It's a December bowl, so it's the 2014 season. Hal Steinbrenner and Jim Delaney will be making the announcement together. The ACC part is not settled yet, just so you know. It'll be part of a cycle with the Kraft Hunger Bowl, and the Gator and Music City Bowls will rotate every other year along with the Pinstripe Bowl to take the Big Ten spots 5, 6, and 7. All right? 5, 6, and 7. That's, you know, so it'll rotate among those three bowls. They already made a great move getting the Holiday Bowl back in. That was one I was never happy that the Holiday Bowl got out of the Big Ten rotation. You know, San Diego's a great spot. It's a great game. Great matchups. There's so many pluses about the Holiday Bowl. I always liked it. Now they're back in with it. That's one I always felt the Big Ten should not get out of. And too many Florida Bowls. it's great to have the Capital One. It's great to have the Outback. Those need to stay for as long as they need it. Gator's a nice addition, but the Holiday Bowl, it's good having the Rose Bowl and one of the California Bowl. New York City is a great addition as well, Yankee Stadium. And look for the Big Ten to have other events in Yankee Stadium. Could be a football game. Could be a Big Ten baseball game. Could be Big Ten hockey. Do you know Yankee Stadium will go after the Winter Classic? And, of course, that will include a Winter Classic is never just the NHL game, you know. There are other games. They put the rink in there, and they kind of make it worth your while. They usually put four or five other games in there.
Don't they do AHL, the AHL game there, too?
AHL plays a game there. Colleges play, so forth. I mean, Penn State was part of the Winter Classic when it was in Philadelphia, when they were a club team. So that's what they'll do with the Pinstripe Bowl. Big Ten gets lacrosse starting in 2015. Maryland Rutgers, they have it on the men's side. Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan. And then you're going to add in Johns Hopkins as an affiliate member. On the women's side, it'll be Rutgers, Maryland, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, and Northwestern, the power of all powers. The Big Ten Lacrosse Conference starts in 2015. Penn State will play in the Colonial one more year in men's lacrosse and in the American Lacrosse League one more year on the women's side. Brian Daly, Keith Ergo named associate head coaches for the Penn State men's basketball program today as well. That means some added responsibilities, also a designation that gives them extra money individually. Pinstripe Bowl, 8-year deal, Big Ten. ACC part not settled yet, so it's only the Big Ten at the press conference today with Jim Delaney and Hal Steinbrenner. Signage in Yankee Stadium for the Big Ten. The entire 2014 season and beyond. Other Big Ten events will also take place there to be announced. This is all part of the stretching east and all-inclusive from New York to Lincoln, Minneapolis for the Big Ten. Something, too, that to discuss is when you look at facilities in the conference, there are three places in the conference I think basketball-wise need to upgrade their facilities. The three would be Rutgers, Northwestern, Minnesota. Rutgers, Lewis Bryant Athletic Center, actually is a very nice arena, but they have to be a little bit bigger. They need to do something with that. Northwestern absolutely needs a new arena. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about that, and there's nothing forthcoming out there. There are some people in Evanston that argue that Northwestern men's basketball is the third sport there. Football and women's lacrosse, first and second. And the last one surprises you. Minnesota needs a new place, and they're not going to get it, guys. I can tell you that right now. Not going to happen. They actually have a women's ice hockey arena and a men's ice hockey arena. Okay. They only have one facility for basketball, the Barn, built in 1927, and there is no practice facility. The men's and women's teams have to use that court all the time to practice. There's no practice facility in Minnesota. And sure, they've done a great job of trying to dress up the old place. But, I mean, the other place that needs one is Illinois, but they're already taking care of that. They have a $160 million renovation that they've started at Illinois. I mean, you go to Illinois, that building was built in 1963, okay? It's 50 years old. Now, if you take down the orange and blue bunting that they put up to dress the place up, everything in there is gray. I mean, all the seats in there are gray. All the background in there is gray. I mean, it's depressing. It's That's why they've dressed it up with all the bunting and so forth. But they're putting $160 million. They got Allstate to come in, and Allstate for naming rights. They're going to widen the concourses and just change the whole place over in a year. So they're already, you know, that's why they're off the list. But Minnesota needs a new place. Minnesota is one of those basketball teams, programs, that tries to make you think they have awesome and incredible tradition. And they've had some great players. Jim Brewer, Michael Thompson, Kevin McHale, Bobby Jackson. They've had some great players. But there's a reality to it. They really are the quintessential hover one or two games above 500, one or two games under 500 almost every year. They're usually a really good home team and usually a mediocre road team. Some people think that Minnesota could be a surprise with young Richard Pitino coaching them this year. I don't know. You lose Mbakwe, you lose Trevor Williams, and Joe Coleman left the team. Other than that, I think things are going well. But they need a new place. Every other place in the Big Ten, I mean, Nebraska's moving into a great place. Iowa's fine. Wisconsin has a beautiful building. Ohio State has a beauty. Michigan poured tens of millions into the Chrysler Center. Remember Dave Brandon said to me, he says, gee, Steve, I hope it's worth it. I said, no. I said, believe me, you spent your money well. This is the best. It really was. That's the best renovation I've ever seen, which he appreciated hearing the comment, but I meant it too. Michigan State, great place. You know, you can complain about the Jordan Center all you want. The Jordan Center is just fine in terms of recruiting. That's why I always laugh about the mythology of Rec Hall. Oh, Rec Hall. Hey, look, I did 18 seasons of games in Rec Hall, okay? I got it. I don't think I need a lesson. When they were in the Big Ten, the first 2.5 seasons, Rec Hall was filled and loud every night. Great moments, including Matt Gaudio at the foul line, going chest to chest with Glenn Robinson, saying, "Hey, you're not intimidating us in our house." And Penn State beating Purdue that night. There's some great moments with Ohio State. Rashawn Carlton hitting a jumper to end the season and beat Michigan State to the infamous Indiana game. I mean, there are a lot of great moments. But look, I did a lot of other games in there where there are 2,000, 3,000, maybe 4,000. Couldn't sell the building out. Thought you would sell the building out. Couldn't do it. It's, you know, the sidelines are great. I mean, doesn't get any better. The end zones are terrible. But you can't recruit in there. You cannot recruit, right? You cannot bring in a big-time recruit and go, this is where we play. And he goes, really? As Gene Cady once told me, actually not once, I think he told me this 15 times. Steve, there are 14 high school gyms in Indiana bigger than this place. Yeah. Then he had that great line the first time I interviewed him in the Jordan Center. I said, you told me there were 14 gyms in Indiana bigger than Rec Hall. What do you think of this place? He goes, more people here to hate us. The great Gene Cady line. Gene was so great to deal with. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, I have to ask you this question. In watching a little bit of the Phillies this weekend and seeing Dominic Brown's month of May, which was just fantastic.
And where's that guy?
My concern, though, And I'm sure a lot of Phillies fans are thinking this as well.
He's going to cool off?
At 27 and 30 and 7.5 games back, does he become one of the Phillies sell?
Slow down. 27 and 30 is 57 games, right?
Okay.
Do you know what? Okay. Do you want to know where you would be in the NFL right now?
Where?
You'd be right at game. You'd be finishing up game six.
Okay. I understand that.
No, you don't know. You don't understand that. Okay? Because I've just made an analogy that nobody ever talks about.
No, but that's not my point.
I'm not done yet.
Oh, boy.
No. Listen to me.
Okay. All right.
It's the equivalent. The Phillies right now are the equivalent of being a 3-3 NFL team through six games.
Okay.
Okay, with 10 more to play. You still have 105 games to play. Hey, you don't sit there in the month of June and go, I wonder who we ought to get rid of.
I don't want to see this, but I got a gut feeling that the Phillies are going to be
gut
sellers in about a
what?
Month.
You don't know that.
I don't know that. I don't know.
Okay? Okay, the Pirates right now are the equivalent of being a 4-2 NFL team with 10 more games to play. It's a lot of season left. Are there some troubling things about how the Phillies play? Yes, there's troubling things about how the Phillies play, especially when you look at Cliff. You run out Cliff Lee. Cliff Lee, he'd be the first guy people would ask about.
How many games would Hamels have won with a little bit of run support?
Yeah, you know, he's caused some of it himself, too.
Sure. No question.
I mean, Hamels has been up and down, and sometimes a guy tries to pitch too hard for his contract. And I think early in the season, I think we saw a guy pitching too hard for his contract, trying to show everybody he's worth everything he got. You're 27-30. You're 7.5 games out, okay? But that's 7.5 games out. Is not quite right. Okay?
All right. Because I'm waiting for the explanation on that.
Well, what do you mean, waiting for the explanation?
What do you mean it's not quite right?
Because when you look at the Phillies at this point, okay, the Phillies at this stage, what, 7.5 games back?
Seven and a half, yeah.
Right, out of first place.
Right.
All right. Now, the one thing that's going on is the Pirates and the Reds are going crazy.
That can't last for the Pirates anyway.
Right. Well, the Phillies right now will find themselves eight back in the wild card at this point.
That's correct.
But with only Washington, Colorado, and San Francisco in front of them. So that's where it is. It's a long way to go in this thing. I mean, Washington's a game under 500. Hey, you think Colorado's going to keep rolling? I mean, the Pirates had another one of those great wins yesterday where the bullpen goes great guns. They shut out Cincinnati. We love the bullpen. We love the bullpen. And guess what? Hey, come August, those guys won't be able to pitch. They're using too many innings. They're using too much bullpen collateral. Because the Pirates right now are a team that their pitching has been unbelievable. But right now, they're 22nd in runs scored. They're 25th in batting average. That's the Pirates. It's the wild card leader. They're 18th in quality starts. 18th.
But they are 10-5 playing the NL East. At least if they're playing the NL East, they have a good shot at winning.
Yeah, that's fine. But they play Atlanta coming up tonight. Okay, all right. But when you're 18th in quality starts, Kevin, how much bullpen collateral are you eating up in April and May that you're going to need in August and September?
Very true.
When the starters actually are tired. Okay. Teams are only batting .223 against the Pirates right now. That's an amazing number against that staff. An amazing number. But they're 18th in quality starts. I mean, do you know how bad that is?
You know, a couple of weeks ago, you were picking on Houston, saying everybody wants to play Houston. I think now everybody wants to play Miami.
Well, Miami's worse than Houston.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
I mean, the Phillies can't get guys in. The Phillies are 26th in runs scored. They just can't get it done. And 25th in on-base percentage.
Saying they left a small village on base is not enough anymore.
Yet, the Phillies are first in the majors in quality starts. You know that?
I did not know that, but I'm not surprised either because they've lost a lot of low scoring games too.
Yeah, that's right. They get a streak where they can get some guys going here around Dominic Brown. Okay. They're three games out of being in second place in the wild card. Suddenly they go from, okay, they're three games out from being the third team that's challenging for the wild card. That's where they are. Now they can't find any consistency. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games.
Yeah.
They've been outscored by 49 runs. How about that? They've been outscored by 49 runs so far. I mean, they have scored 202 runs so far this season.
And their lineup every night, I'm never quite sure what it's going to be.
In the National League, only the Nationals, the Dodgers, and the Marlins have scored fewer runs.
Wow. That's a stat.
It also tells you the state. I mean, what they need. They need to get. They're getting so little outfield production right now outside of Brown. Revere's giving them nothing. Mayberry's not giving them anything. Mayberry isn't giving them a lot for years now.
Nope. The only baseball fans that should have more concern right now are Mets fans because they can't figure out what's going on with that team. They play really well and then really awful.
They swept the Yankees and they got swept by the Marlins.
Right.
Okay, America, tell me where the logic is in that.
Exactly.
There is no logic. No logic at all. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WK. Okay. Look, you can't have this conversation for six more weeks.
What conversation?
About who you want to get rid of.
I do not want to get rid of Dominic Brown. That was the point of the whole conversation.
You can't have this conversation on getting rid of anybody for 6 weeks.
I mean, if the Phillies become sellers, I don't want that particular person sold. That was the point.
You can't even have the conversation right now for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Well, listen,
you're
is there a ton to be optimistic about besides Brown?
Look, you're at the 38% mark of the season. You got 62% of the season to go. At least get to the halfway point and figure out where you are.
Okay, fine. I will.
Meanwhile, stay optimistic. You're over there. Now, I'm not saying optimistic. I'm saying be realistic. You can't go out and just like, I think we ought to sell the farm. I'm sorry, but we're not at the point to sell the farm yet.
I don't want them to sell the farm. But when they do get in that situation, I don't want him gone.
You want to get rid of the livestock in the first week of June when you don't have to make the decision for six more weeks. At 6 weeks, you may be saying, okay, wait a minute. Maybe we should add somebody.
Let's just open the barn door and let them all run out.
Does everybody know that you're this depressing?
Not until you and I started hanging out.
Wow.